what you talked about, this group being composed of left, right, and center organizations, what are some of the more right-wing organizations that you found yourself allied with, and both of y'all probably ended up doing double takes?
Phyllis Schlafly was one. I'm forgetting the name of her group, but Phyllis Schlafly's group was
the Eagle Forum.
Eagle Forum, thank you. The Cato Institute, which is not so surprising. They're pretty much on the libertarian side of things. I think the I don't know if the National Rifle Association was on, but the Gun Owners of America was on. There were just I'm forgetting. I don't have the list in front of me, but it was. I mean, you know, Phyllis Schlafly. You aren't going to get any more right than Phyllis Schlafly. You know, and on the other hand, there were all sorts of left groups and Common Cause and People for the American Way and ACLU and, you know, a bunch of different groups that are sort of in the relatively mainstream to left kind of groups. National Lawyers Guild, which I'm part of, more on the left. So and we were all standing up and saying the same thing. We weren't endorsing any particular legislation. God forbid, you know, but we were all saying, don't act fast, you know, try to be measured in your reaction. Now, it's helped to slow down the USA Patriot Act that got introduced, I think, a little bit, but it didn't. Nobody expected it would stop it.
Tell us then about the USA Patriot Act.
This was a pretty big bill. It was the government's legislative response to that attack. And it was not written, by and large, after the attack. It was something that, as I say, was off the shelf. It had been, you know, essentially sitting on the shelf at the Justice Department, ready to go, ready to be introduced when the next best opportunity came to do it. It consisted of many, many different kinds of law enforcement expanded authorities that had not previously passed. You know, when I started looking at it, I said, I know this bill. This was stuff that the government's been trying to pass since 1984. Mm-hmm. Bits and pieces have been passed since then, but this is the stuff that was left over, the stuff that never passed the laugh test before. But because of this horrible attack, stuff that, you know, that otherwise people would say, you must be nuts to think about doing this. Now it just went right on through, and it was inevitable that something similar to this was going to pass, because the Congress, just like everybody else, wanted to do something. It's the most normal reaction. People want to give blood after the attacks. Congress, what does Congress do? They don't give blood. They pass laws. They were given a bill, nice big fat bill, and they said, okay, here's our bill.
A parliamentarian at a workshop I attended once said that Congress's job is actually not to pass law, it's to prevent bad law from happening. And yet in this case, it seems like exactly the opposite occurred. They passed a really bad law.
Well, when you have an attack like this, you're going to pass a bill. You basically had to start with that premise.
Mm-hmm.
In 95, there was a bill introduced that really was after the first World Trade Center attacks. It was sort of designed to deal with, in some ways, to deal with that. And after the Oklahoma City bombing, that bill passed the Senate like lightning because of the same kind of impetus of the Senate said, here's a bill. Let's pass it. What we succeeded in doing with that bill was slowing it down in the House. It took another year because we got the House to take the process seriously, exactly what you're talking about. We said, no, wait a minute, let's read this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's read the bill and see what's really in it and see if this is going to deal with the kind of problems that have been identified in it. And there were some very good process, kind of like you're talking about, where the House said, I really want a pretty different kind of bill than what you got here. And they came up with both on the House and the Senate, I mean, both in the Democratic and Republican side of the House, two different bills, Conyers and Barr, do very different bills than what was given to them. Those bills didn't end up being incorporated in the final process, but that was their effort to come up with something more rational. So there we had a lot of time, relatively a year. This time around, we only had basically a month. The House took about a month longer than the Senate. We got the House to hold what's called a markup. The House Judiciary Committee held a meeting, and they looked at the bill, and they submitted amendments. It was about an eight-hour meeting. They raised about 30 different issues, passed about 30 amendments that did some pretty good fixes to that bill. Now, I didn't think it was anywhere near a perfect bill when they got through with it, but they took their time. They said, no, wait a minute, this isn't really what we want to do. Let's do something that's a little more focused. And they did, and they passed it unanimously. Both Republican and Democratic. It's a really interesting process. And then when that bill got to the full House, to the floor of the House, the House leadership, pushed by the Justice Department and the administration, said, oh, no, 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 we're not going to do that fixed-up bill. And they had a vote on whether to take that amended bill that the House Judiciary had carefully looked at, or whether to take basically the original bill and which one to vote on in the House.
Wow.
And by a very small margin, the original bill, the unlooked-at bill, passed. And that was what the House passed, and that's approximately what we ended up with. And there were some really, really angry House members who said some really good things. And so the final vote, which was overwhelming, wasn't the vote that I looked at.
Right.
It was that vote about which version to consider, and that was a very close vote. And people like David Obey and Barney Frank and other people who've been following this stuff for a long time said this was one of the most awful processes they'd ever seen in their many, many, many years in the House, and they were ashamed to be part of this process.
So that was Mr. Haster leading that charge.
Yeah.
And the lay.
Yep. And the Justice Department, the House leadership, House Democrats were not as strong as they should have been probably on this either. And that was certainly true in the Senate, even though Senator Leahy tried sort of on his own to do some fixes, he didn't have any support on either, really on either side. Daschle didn't give him the kind of support he could have. I would blame the Republicans a little more than the Democrats, but there wasn't a lot of backbone
right
on either side.